This talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonnebacher at the Zen Center of New York City. Gokhan is a senior monastic in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation, please visit our website at zmm.mro.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Good morning. I'd like to start with a passage from Shohaku Okamura Roshi. He says, when we really repent in Zazen and let go of thoughts, we take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Repentance in Buddhism is not something negative. It is a very positive activity through which we become true Buddhists. Our practice doesn't make us perfect or holy people. In a sense, practice means giving up trying to become perfect. It means realizing our imperfect nature. We accept even our delusions and take care of them, as if they were as precious as our children. If we ignore our delusions or our children, they can do great harm. When we take good care of them, they can be quieted. We can be liberated within delusions only if we face and care for them. If we don't, they become an impregnable barrier. There is a path of liberation within delusions and suffering. When we see reality clearly, we can see delusions as just delusion. Elements of this talk come from some things that have happened over the past few weeks, things that I've been observing in myself and observing in other people. And some of these have been uncomfortable experiences for myself and for other people. In situations where I'm trying to help and making mistakes sometimes. And seeing the karma, seeing the energies that run through us that have such an effect, these flows of energy that move through us, all of these different parts of us that we have. And we're full of love and care. And we get angry and we hurt people. We get pulled into our desires and habits. And seeing in these situations, seeing these things moving through us, through people that I'm with, through myself, and also starting to see that we are at the same time whole. And I've been of wondering at all of this. And so one of the first things was I was at Greenhaven Prison, where I go fairly regularly to sit with a group there to help with the Buddhist group there. And on earlier this month, we were celebrating Buddha's birthday there. And this is their family day, so they get to invite family and they get to spend the day together, both with the Sangha and with their visitors. And then I was there for part of the day. And we do some liturgy. We celebrate Buddha's birthday, and I give a short talk. And in that talk were the seeds of this talk. I was thinking about these same things, about these different parts of us. How do we make peace with all of these different parts of us? And suggesting that that is our work, really. And then we had lunch together. There was some time to hang out, and it's kind of a nice opportunity for me because it's one of the rare times when I'm there where we actually have time to just talk. And I can kind of go around and connect with different the guys that are in the Sangha. And I spent some time talking to this one fellow who I've known for some years now. He kind of comes and goes from the Sangha, but he's been practicing for a long time. He reads a lot. He knows about the monastery, about the temple, because he reads our publications, and then he has questions about them, and he asks real questions about practice. He's really trying to practice. And towards the end of the day, there had been a couple of other guys who kind of came by us and were talking about how much time they had left. and that they were, you know, sort of looking forward to getting out, of course. And then we were sort of alone again. He said, you know, it's good for these guys to have a target, to know when they're getting out. And I said, do you have a target? I kind of realized what he was saying. And he said, no. And, you know, we just kind of stood there for a minute, and then, you know, I think he moved on to something else. But when I was leaving, and as I was, you know, I've been sort of carrying that and reflecting on that, and reflecting on that in the context of what I had tried to offer that day. How does he hold that in him? And it is likely that he did something terrible. How does he hold that in him? And where is that? That happened a long time ago. Where is that in him? And again, it was, you know, him standing there with me, me standing there with him. It was clear he is a complete human being. He is complete. He is looking. He is asking. He is wanting to be complete, whole. So Okamura Roshi says, when we really repent in Zazen and let go of thoughts, we take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Repentance in Buddhism is not something negative. It is a very positive activity through which we become true Buddhists. And so I think he's talking about returning to wholeness. And when we really do Zazen, we take refuge in the three treasures. We take refuge in reality, in wholeness. Elsewhere he says that when we really do Zazen, we sit on the ground of letting go. We sit on the ground of letting go. His teacher, Uchiyama Roshi, says that when we let go, we sit down on the ground of reality. Always liked that, found that helpful. But he says when we really repent, and this is a, you know, we use a different translation, I think, of, I'm not sure what's being translated, so we don't usually use repentance. We talk about atonement. And this passage, he is talking about the what we call the Gatha of Atonement, and so he's working with a slightly different translation. But the way what we, our translation, the Gatha of Atonement says, all evil karma ever committed by me since of old, on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, born of my body, mouth, and thought, now I atone for it all. And this may be familiar to some of you. This is a Gatha that we chant together at the beginning of some ceremonies. And I was reading this, I hear Daido Roshi, he used to talk about atonement and at-one-ment. So you always, that was always his explanation, that atonement is at-one-ment. So Daido Roshi says, having identified karma and how it is created, we then atone for it, become one with it, take responsibility for it. When you take responsibility for it, you make it your own. And when it is your own, then there is something you can do about it. If you do not take responsibility for it, you are powerless to change it. It is someone else's fault. Something else is to blame. You are the victim. Taking responsibility empowers us to free ourselves of the endless cycle of cause and effect. So in Zazen, we see thoughts, we acknowledge them, we take responsibility for them in acknowledging them, and we let them go. So Okamura Roshi says, this is true repentance. That doing Zazen is repentance. It is practicing atonement, practicing at-one-ment, practicing intimacy, wholeness. It doesn't feel like that a lot of the time, like we're practicing wholeness, because most of the time we're seeing all of these things that pass through us, all of the thoughts, feelings, emotions. And it's important to see all of these things. That's what's being pointed to in these passages about atonement. We usually want to get away from them. We want someone else to take care of them for us or to be responsible. But as long as they're outside of us in any way, right, outside of us in our kind of internal relationship with them, then there's a way in which they're in control. We're not in control. We're not able to do anything with them. We're not able to work with them. And so this is why seeing and acknowledging is so important in our practice. Knowing ourselves, knowing all of ourselves. And so importance of paying attention during Zazen, during our time when we're alone with ourselves. Getting to know our mind, every part of ourselves, every part of our mind, our body. Where do we feel things? How do we feel things? How do we know what we're feeling in our body, in our mind? And to be curious and interested, even in the difficult, uncomfortable parts of ourselves. And to pay attention when we're not alone, when we're with others, when we're with the Sangha, whether that means the Sangha, or your other sanghas, the people that you live with and work with and interact with in your life. They are constantly telling you something about yourself because they're constantly really reacting to you. And if we're interested, if we're paying attention, if we want to see what is being reflected back to us, it's being offered. Some people will tell you. Shugen Roshi always tells me that I should thank these people. But they are offering something. And if we can be open to that, if we're interested in enough in that, if we're more interested in being right and sort of protecting our own view of ourselves, and more interested in seeing, then we can learn something. And we need to be able to see these parts so that we can work with them. I was remembering, I'm thinking about Daito Roshi, and he had some stories that he would, that were really good ones that he would keep coming back to. And I remember one of them, he would talk about, someone who was angry, and they're like, "I'm not angry," and that then you can't work with that, right? They can't work with that. I was remembering long time ago, my dad came and did a workshop at the monastery that Shugen, I don't know if he was even sensei at that point, but he led a workshop on anger. And my mom told me afterwards that when he got home from that, they realized in talking about it that what my dad experienced as irritation, she experienced as rage. And again, like if you don't know how this is being received, right? Then you don't know what's happening, what you're doing. Okumura says, "Our practice doesn't make us perfect or holy. In a sense, practice means giving up trying to become perfect. It means realizing our imperfect nature. I don't know that we really want to hear that either, right? That's kind of hard to hear. Isn't that what enlightenment is? Isn't that perfection? We sort of come here with that idea. We need to let go of that. He says we accept even our delusions, or we should accept even our delusions, and take care of them as if they were as precious as our children. If we ignore our delusions or our children, they can do great harm. When we take good care of them, they can be quieted. So I used to be a teacher and work with kids. And, you know, when I was sort of clear myself, you can see with kids that when they're acting out, when they're being difficult, they're just asking for attention. Right? They're kind of asking, they're saying, I need help. I need some attention. I need love. And that often when you can, when I was able to offer something, they would quiet down, right? And so rather than responding with anger, if I could respond in a positive way, that was actually what they were, what they needed. And so Kimura is suggesting that our delusions are like this. You know, we all still act out, right? We're all kind of like kids like that, asking for attention and love. So the delusions in us are these kids asking for attention. They need some acceptance, and then they can quiet down, not make such a ruckus. And so what does it mean to take care of our delusions? He doesn't mean to feed them, indulge them. Right? He said, don't give up practice and just follow your delusions. And what are delusions? So delusion is believing that something exists in a way that it does not. And we're being pointed to the delusion that we think we exist in a way that we do not. During the Ongo intensive last week, I think it was, Shugen Roshi said that in attachment, so whenever we're attached to something, we're trying to defy reality. I thought that was helpful. So reality is that nothing is fixed or permanent. And so when we try to make something last, when we want it to stay the way it is because it's giving us something that we like, we're trying to defy reality. And reality always wins. So we suffer. A while back, the cooks up at the monastery made a really good macaroni and cheese for lunch. And I ate a little bit more than I should have. It was really good. And then I was walking away and kind of feeling the taste dissipate in my mouth. And I kind of just, like, I realized that's over. It's gone. Right? And I was also recently, Hojin Sensei and I were hanging the Ongo scrolls, so the same that we have out here with the list of all of the participants. And they came out, they weren't quite even, and she wasn't quite satisfied with it, and then I was feeling a little defensive, like I had done something wrong. And I had a similar reaction. I was like, oh, it's okay. Like, it's Hojin. Like, it's over. Like, it's past. But we have the ability as humans to create things in our mind that don't exist. I'm quoting or paraphrasing Okamura there. And so we have an experience that is pleasurable or one that is not pleasurable, right? I think I've done something wrong, or that Hojin is upset with the way I did it. or it's the or it's something pleasurable. Either way, we can recreate that in our mind, right? And recreate it and recreate it. Try to make it last. And it seems like we're getting that same thing, right? We're getting, there's a way in which we're getting that same pleasure or that same other thing, not so pleasurable, but for some reason we make that, we create that too. And it's not quite the same thing, but then we kind of get enamored with what we've created in our mind, with our thoughts. And we kind of turn and live in that, which is not reality. And so again, that is suffering. So taking care of our delusions. And so as I was thinking about this, you know, our delusions maybe are, in many cases, they are the ways that we try to find peace and contentment, peace and happiness, which we're doing all the time, but that are based on this false understanding of things. And so these habits that we have that don't quite work, they kind of work, but they don't quite work. They're not giving us lasting, real satisfaction. And so we have habits we go back to over and over again because they kind of work and they don't work. And sometimes we know that they really don't work, right? But they're in us and we keep coming back to them. Ultimately, they cause us suffering. They are suffering. And even when we know this, we keep coming back to them. And so how do we work with that? I think I've shared this here recently, but Shugen Roshi told me he suggested having respect for these deep habits in me, in us. Right? They are deep habits. They have some strength in us. That was helpful. We don't have to fight with ourselves. These are parts of ourselves. And I realized that this is also something that I had learned on my own. I think that's why it was so helpful to hear it from him. And so I was thinking about how so many years of my life, my practice, I spent beating myself up, criticizing myself, doubting kind of everything, undermining everything. And then when I started to see that in my, to see what I was doing, and particularly to see it in Zazen, then I started beating myself up for beating myself up, right? And so how do we quiet that down? How do we stop that battle that we create inside of ourselves? How can we be gentle with ourselves as we work with ourselves? And so that's what we do, right? So to learn to allow all these parts to be there, right? Have some respect for them and work with them. Study them. Let them quiet down so that we can work with them. And then we have to let them quiet down. We have to let them get quieter. I saw a little, just a little squib. I think it was like on the front page of the New York Times website. I guess about a TV show about sobriety. And the little squib was, can sobriety be exciting? And, you know, I feel like this is sort of a live place in my practice, is as I let things quiet down, then it's like, well, but wait, that was kind of exciting. Kind of like, I got something from that. And so, and then seeing that if I'm still looking, so I think that actually that question is not quite the right question. Can sobriety be exciting? Right? It's different, right? It's allowing ourselves to not still look for that same kind of excitement. Right? that's not actually what we want. That's not actually what we're looking for, that kind of excitement. And so can we let that quiet down? And so if we're still looking for the same kind of whatever it was that we got from our old habit, once we've loosened that, then we're not going to find that. So what happens then when we really let things be quiet? If we want to live differently, see things differently, experience ourselves differently, we have to let that change happen. Let things be different. Let ourselves change. And there can be a kind of excitement in that. That's kind of the adventure of practice, is that new things do open up as we practice and loosen and experience ourselves in a different way. Okamura Roshi says, there is a path of liberation within delusions and suffering. So the same fellow at the prison was saying that, you know, it's kind of hard for them to get new members in the prison because it's like, what's the offer? You know, there's not like a promise of heaven or of, you know, we don't want our liberation to be within the suffering and delusion. Right? We want it to be somewhere else. But where else would it be? Right? This really is the radical offering. Right? Is that it's, where else would it be? It's right here. There's nowhere else to go. And finally, he says, when we see reality clearly, we can see delusions as just illusion. What is it to see delusion as just delusion? And then when we can see that, we're free to act, free to work with those delusions, to work in those delusions. Act in ways that are helpful for us and for others, that help to quiet our delusions. I don't think that ever stops, that practice. And we're free to take care, really. So we're free to take care of ourselves and to take care of other people, right? We need taking care of. People need taking care of. Things need taking care of. And on this Earth Day, not just on this Earth Day, but in the reminder of this day, the Earth needs taking care of, right? It takes care of us. It's a beautiful day out there. May we take care of it as well. So let us take care.
Thanks so much for listening. The monastery's quarterly journal, Mountain Record, has a new home at mountainrecord.org. For over 30 years, Mountain Record has been offering spiritual seekers of all faiths a unique journey through words and images. Each quarterly issue delivers a thought-provoking array of classic teachings, contemporary wisdom, stunning photographs, and news from the Mountains and Rivers Order. For more information, to subscribe, or to read our open access articles, visit mountainrecord.org.